Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is awesome, God. My Lord God, I thank and praise Him. He is a wonderful Savior, perfect in all of His ways. Glory be to the Lord God Almighty. I rejoice and am exceedingly glad, for great is His faithfulness to His servants. Thank you for joining us on Blog Talk Radio. You have tuned in to Words from the Word. And I am your host, Overseer Paulette Thornton. And I am blessed to be able to share this ministry of our Friday Fellowship of Learners with you. We come from Labors for Christ Word Life Center, where our founder and apostle is Shanette, Dr. Shanette. We praise God for the visionary and the vision of a 24-hour-a-day church. And it starts with taking over the airwaves for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Praise be to God. Good morning to all those who have joined us. Good morning. Good morning. Amen. And we're coming from Detroit, Michigan. So we thank God for the kind of technology. Hallelujah. That no matter where you are and what you're doing, you can reach out and touch one another as though we are there together. He says where two or three are joined together, and I believe we're joined together by this internet telephone service station kind of technology. And we do. We just praise and we thank God. We thank God. We thank God. Good morning to you. Pray that your morning has gone well. So,
yes,
as we start today with Abiding in Christ, is the book that we're looking at. And the author's name is Andrew Murphy, a very interesting type of writer, kind of in the old English kind of way of writing, I think. And so, though it's challenging, it is so full of those meaningful, powerful biblical truths that will set us free. We are now on week 9, which is a 31-day devotional, but we're doing each day as a week. And so we are on the week 9 or the day 9 or the unit 9 as your sanctification. Hallelujah. And it's the continuation of 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. And so as a result, we're at the third part of it. We're at the third part of that scripture. Does someone have this scripture in perhaps the Message Bible or the Amplified Bible? That's 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. Anybody have that scripture in another version? As I read the one that I believe New King James, if you can locate that for us. And so for the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at this scripture, 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. Of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Praise the Lord. Do you have another version out there? As we look at this, for the last 3 weeks, this is going on the first week, we have first been assured of the fact that it was God who has ordained this union for Jesus Christ. And He's ordained this union, and I don't hear it from men. Every week from eternity, Christ and I were ordained for one another. Inseparably, we belong to each other, for it is God's will. Praise the Lord. It is the will of God that we be inseparable from His Holy Son, because it is through that connection that all things from him are released to us. It is in him that is our inheritance. It is the inheritance of the saints. And this lesson talks about saints, and it indicates that we have a very unique position as it relates to Scripture, because it says, that in the Old Testament, righteousness was found, whereby only holiness was typified. In other words, you couldn't find a holy person, but there were different scenarios that were a type of the one and only holy one, which was Jesus Christ, which could be found in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it has been realized that holiness, that sanctification, those saints, because we were called saints in the New Testament. And so Christ has, through his Holy Son, imparted into us. It's an avenue of communication that is fostered by the Holy Spirit, who delivers to us heaven's agenda through Christ into us. And this is how the vine communicates and shares with the branch the power that is within the vine and releases it into the branch. And so in this scripture, we are given the confidence of the fact that it is not something that we desire to happen. This is something that was ordained before the foundation of the world. God himself has united us with Jesus Christ. And that's kind of the union that brings a comfort and a confidence in knowing God did this. And there's not anything that God does that man can undo. When God has put his hand on a thing, that thing does come to pass. When he's spoken over a thing, it does come to pass. And so he is presented here as the husbandman from John 15:1. And that is the one who owns the vineyard where the vine is located and where that engrafting comes as a result of the desire of the husbandman of the vine. And that's the Lord God Almighty. That is the Father and Creator of the universe. He's created this system of unity that is and made it possible for us not just to be righteous, as it says, righteousness is but a stepping stone to holiness. And our author shares with us, holiness is higher than righteousness, and it defines righteousness is legal completeness, whereas holiness is spiritual perfection. And so a righteous man in the Old Testament was one who could legally obey all of the laws, 300 and 600 and some odd laws of the covenant that God made with the children of Israel, and that man would be counted as a righteous man. And but none were holy. None were holy. It was only the example of that which was typified what it was going to look like, and that was the role of the high priest. We know that Christ is the high priest, but in the Old Testament they were typified as that. They were a type of Christ, but not Christ. But the New Testament is coming. God has allowed his Holy Son to come. And as he came and it was placed in him as he walked in holiness and in total obedience to God, because Christ walked in total obedience to God, that all of these things that we lost possession of in the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned, we regained them when Christ lived holy. And so when he died and took our sins to the cross, and he exchanged his righteousness for our sin. In other words, he took sin upon him. He had no sin. He was righteous, but he laid his righteousness down in order to bear our sin and then cover us in his righteousness. And Lord God Almighty, what a powerful exchange happened at the cross. You could just see him just dropping his robe of righteousness over mankind. Mankind who could pick it up and cover themselves with it or walk over it and trample it because they rejected it. And we just thank God that he allowed us to pick it up and hide ourselves in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And as our author starts to share that transference or that unity that starts to develop because we put on that righteousness, and it allows us to understand that in each step of this perfecting unto holiness, this perfecting spiritual perfection, every step is focused on God and Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit. It is the three together that accomplishes it. And it leaves us in a place of rest and peace. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Because I am meek and meek and lowly. And that's what provides that rest for our soul. So often we're looking for a peace and a rest and a comfort, you know, from situations and circumstances. And that's not where it comes from. It comes from relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. It comes from our proximity to the vine. That's where it comes from. It flows from him through Holy Spirit into us. And so we don't have to fret about trying to have it because it's been ordained to be delivered to us. We only have to, as a sister many, many years ago came up with the phrase, enjoy the ministry of Holy Spirit. You know, in other words, let him do what he is intended to do, because he's going to do his job. And that's all we have to do is embrace it and rest in it and depend on it and look for it. That's what this abiding in Christ, it says, is a patient anticipation, a patient expectancy, expected. It is neither a wasteful idleness, nor is it anxious striving. You know, and not always trying to get it, you know, anxious about getting frustrated. That's not what abiding in Christ looks like. It looks like a patient, quiet rest. The psalmist says, my soul, and he's talking to his soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from him. So what the psalmist is saying, and I'm not sure this is a psalm of David, but in David's striving with the enemy that was always chasing him, always upon him, always looking for Saul, just relentlessly pursuing him to take his life. And David said to his, I could see David telling his soul, don't worry, just wait upon God. That's where our help is coming from. We have his word. We have his promise. And we can depend on it. And you kind of speak that peace to yourself. It says, encourage yourself. Encourage yourself with the truth and with the promises that God has given us. And encourage yourself to wait on them and to wait expecting them and to wait patiently and to wait with joy. Joy because you're satisfied with your salvation. You're satisfied with what God is doing with you. I think we had shared, I hope it was in Blog Talk for Words from the Word, you know, what are the things you're satisfied with in your relationship with God? What are the things you're not? What things are you looking for that you don't have? Because I think if we look at them and then we look at his word, we might see that we're looking for the wrong thing, and where we expect riches to come from, that's not where they come from. Those things are temporal, and he's growing us up. So we get over those type things because we are going for those things that are eternal. And those things, it can't be stolen. It can't rust or be corrupted because they come from heavenly sources. And so the author is sharing with us this relationship of abiding in a way that causes us to do, to do all the things that we really want out of life, and that is to be satisfied, to be at peace, at rest, in joy, excited, anticipation of those things that are powerful and new and true and successful, spiritually successful, coming our way. They're guaranteed. They're either here or they're on the way. And they just need to be manifest as we abide in him, as we maintain that connection to the divine. So do you have any questions, input, insight, revelation from the first nine, the first eight steps, days of devotion, insights that are coming to life in your life? Yes.
Overseer, did you ask for a scripture or no?
Yes.
Okay, what was that? For the John 15 from the message, or what was?
The message for 1 Corinthians 1 and 30.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
I'll get that for you right now.
Okay, thank you. Yes, and we have to do our John scripture as well, because I think every time we look at it each week, we need to see how it's being fulfilled in our study and how the Lord is bringing us to maturity with this scripture. So if you have that, you can read that now as well.
Oh, okay. I had that from the Message Bible. Is that okay? Okay. So we'll go forth with that. Okay. From John 15, 1 through 12, the Message Bible. I'm sorry. It is the whole thing with the computer. Here we go. Okay. Here we are now. Okay. I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes. And every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine. You are the branches. When you join with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separate, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourself at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and act upon. This is how my Father showed who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciple, I love you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourself at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Keep my Father's commands and make myself at home in his love. I told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. This is my command, love one another the way I love you.
Amen, amen. And as we see, he's sharing with us about this joy. And, you know, when we see that, we go, oh, yeah, joy, we want it. We don't even know what it looks like, people. Because when we look at what Christ did, and he says, I'm doing all of this for the joy. It's like, you're kidding me. Okay, you're being spit on, you're being beat, you're being mocked and lied upon and persecuted, and he didn't have anywhere to live, nowhere to lay his head. You know, he didn't have a job. You know, he didn't have anything. It's like, what joy? You know, joy, oh, what joy? And he's sharing with us this new kingdom principle. It's new. It's definitely new because it's nothing that the world obtains to. They don't use any of these definitions, any of these circumstances as being a part of what brings joy to a person. And yet he's saying, I'm sharing these things with you so that my joy can be yours and can be full. And so this is why he says, take my yoke and learn of me, because there's so many things that you're not gonna be able to understand them unless you watch me as you walk through, as you're yoked with me. Watch how I did it, and then I'll show you where to look for the treasures of peace, the treasure of love, and the treasures of joy. Things that when a person possesses those things, truly possesses love and peace and joy, life is awesome. Life is inspiring. It's encouraging. It just develops higher and higher and higher. It's a thing that the world is so in need of, a peace. Because there's peace that he does say that surpasses all understanding, because it's looking at circumstances and it can't see where peace can come out of them. And yet when we look at Christ's life, we'll see how it does, because he often steals away with the Father. He often seeks the presence of God, and it's in that presence that he receives the peace and the joy that he's able to walk away from or walk through these circumstances and situations in life that he had. And yet the joy was so powerful, the love was so engulfing, and the peace was so full that the circumstances couldn't touch him. The circumstances couldn't take them away from him. And that's what he wants us to have, that kind of abiding peace and love and joy. I love the search for significance. I think that's part of one of Minister Pat's rejoicing scriptures, when he said, we are fully loved, we're deeply loved, fully pleasing, and totally acceptable by God. And that's a truth that just brings a warm joy on the inside that goes deep into our soul when we realize that the God of the universe, deeply loves, not just loves me, but deep loves me, completely accepts me, and totally is, I'm pleasing to him. Total. There's not an area that isn't, because it's covered by the righteousness of Christ. And so that's part of the unfolding of this John 15, 1 through 12, that we're reading on this 31-unit walk, and realizing that there are going to be some things that will happen, but those things cannot undo the treasures and the inheritance that we have received through Holy Spirit from the Lord Jesus Christ. I love it at the beginning of that, John 15. It says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. But I like the way it said it in the message. Can you read what is that part of it says in the message? Maybe the, I don't know, because it doesn't have verses in here. But where it says, now ye are, you have been cleansed by my word. Mr. Pat.
Yes. I want my mother to go back to that. I had went to 1 Corinthians, so I go back to that. Give me one moment.
Yeah, we just want to look at that for a little while because it has.
I was just going to say, as you were speaking, while I get that scripture, about that from such for significant, hold on, from such for significant, that has resonated. I think the word has resonated in my heart.
Yes.
And lately, God has been, not that he hasn't, I guess probably wasn't as in tune to him as I have been now. And he's been doing so many things. And I had thought about journaling, and the other day he said, journal, journal, journal. And then when you start journaling and seeing all the things that the Lord is doing, all you can do is just be in awe, but he always said he loved us that way.
Yeah.
We sometimes don't realize the love of God and why he, and that he really do love us with everlasting love. And he said just to ask him, even in giving him more time. My thing lately has been, Lord, I want more time with you. I want more time with you. And that might sound so, because in 24 hours a day, I should be giving you at least 10 to 20, even 30 to 40% of that time. You know, I'm not working, so my time should be even more with you. And he has, in this time, given me so much just understanding, even reading, learning how to meditate, learning how to sit still. And it's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment process. It's a challenge. But every day it gets better and better, and I thank him. Because when you're running so much, you can't, you find you don't hear from him as much as when you sit. Because his word is be still and know that I am God. And I just get excited when, and then when you be so long with him, you don't want to leave that presence. You want to stay like that forever in his presence. So it's just exciting.
Amen.
That's the joy. So which scripture did you want in John 15 from the message over there?
Yeah, probably around the second and third verse. What does it say?
Okay. In the second verse, it says, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. Is that what
my
you want
God,
me to say?
Amen. And that's it.
And then, and
make your home.
That's it.
Yes.
Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do it.
Exactly.
Do it in you. Wow.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's
make your home. Come, like you're saying, you know, seek me. Just come on, live with me. You know, just stay, you know, hang out with me now.
In the relax with him.
Yes, exactly. Come deal with me, you know,
right.
And it's like every time you get in those moves, one of the things that every time somebody irritates you, you know, don't think about them, think about, you know, go to God. You know, God, you know, they really bother me. Well, what's up with that? And then he will give you, you know, like missionary said, Evangelist Novella is saying, you know, come on, relax. You know, just hang out with me. You don't even have to worry about stuff like that. And we really
don't.
But
isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? At the end there, what she read, he said, as I in you. He's already there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. And you know what? I read that and didn't, you know how you read something, you don't see it, and then when you see it, that's
absolutely.
So simple. It's so simple.
Yeah.
Live me as Missionary Novella. Relax.
Yeah.
Just relax. Absolutely.
Make it
difficult.
I don't do that all day. Just relax.
So when it's so simple. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, I keep seeing what Evangelist is sharing with us, you know, her walk is even a relaxed walk, you know. It's a walk of confidence.
It's a walk of peace.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's walking in Christ. I mean, you know,
yeah.
And that's where our strut should look. It really should, not labored as, oh, my, or scurrying around like, you know. All this anxious striving. When I see that idle wasteful idleness and anxious striving, and when we just think about some of the things we get so anxious about, and some of the things that we get so, oh, you know, this day is not going like I wanted, and you know, what's wrong with these people, and what's wrong with this world, and you know, and he just says, relax. Come on, where I am.
Mm-hmm.
I wanna read this to you from a message for today's thought. And we love that Jesus is calling. But it says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways yours. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and thoughts higher than yours. Remember who I am when you spend time with me. Marvel at the wonder of being able to communicate with the King of the universe anytime or any place. Never take this amazing privilege for granted. Though
my
I am
God.
Faster and greater than you, I am training you to think my thoughts. So as you spend time in my presence, my thoughts gradually form in your mind. My spirit is the director of this process. Sometimes he brings Bible verses to mind. Sometimes he enables you to hear me speak directly to you. These communications strengthen you and prepare you for whatever is before you on your life path. Take time to listen to my voice. Through your sacrifice of precious time, I bless you far more than you dare ask or think." And so it's just letting us, this is him telling us, I've got so much for you, God. You know, I have so much that I want to share with you. I want to give to you. I want you to enjoy. I want you to be the recipient of all of this. You know, I'm the King of the universe. Okay.
Yes.
Right. And I'm pursuing. I am pursuing you. That's pretty phenomenal.
Yes, it is.
And so
when
we look at that, and he's saying, you know, make your home with me. You know, this King of the universe giving you an invitation. Come on, live in my house. Oh
yeah. Right. That's beautiful.
And you know. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful. And overseer, in one of them, it said, "Take time to rest in the love light of my presence. I will gradually restore to you the energy that you have lost over the years. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and you will find rest for your soul." It goes back to what Missionary Novella just said. Relax. Rest.
Amen.
Love. I'm giving you love and light in my presence as you stay in my presence.
Absolutely.
Wow.
What a wonderful God we serve. It says
absolutely.
It all about adding me. Amen.
Yes. You know, and I think one of the things that we so focus on, and it's not that we're not supposed to consider these things, but we're so focused on the don't do this and don't do that. Don't we're just too consumed with the don'ts that we don't understand what we can do, and we don't really embrace or even search out what can I do. You know, and that's one of the things that draws people to Christ is not to don't do this and don't do that. You got to live holy, but it's like God is, that holiness will come in our connection, as the author is saying. You know, he's going to sanctify us. This is all God's doing. You know, he gives us the wisdom. That's the knowledge to know him, and then the wisdom, the knowledge to know him, and then the courage to do what he has asked us to do or what he says is best for us to do. And then after he gives us the wisdom, he covers us with the righteousness of Christ. And as we're covered with the righteousness of Christ, we are in very, now that part we got, because we know how sinful we were, okay? And so knowing that I now have peace with God through Jesus Christ, because of Christ, he covers me, he's cleansed me. And so we tend to rest there and not want to go any further. But I think that righteousness, and the author even shares with us, he says, when the believer first finds Christ as his righteousness, he has such a joy in the newly made discovery that the study of holiness hardly has a place in his mind. But as he grows, the desire for holiness makes itself felt, and he seeks to know what provision God has made for supplying his needs. And so it says a superficial acquaintance with God's plan leads to the view that while justification is God's work by faith in Christ, sanctification is our work to be performed under the influence of gratitude. But then later he says we find out gratitude is not enough. That's not what we'll do. It won't supply that power. Nor will prayer, as great as prayer is, it won't supply the power. The power comes through the grace of God. And the grace of God just means grace is a divine empowerment. So he divinely empowers us, okay, to get into the arch, if you will, of holiness. And it is through Christ that it is made, that we are made holy, so sanctified. I looked up what does sanctify mean? And it says set apart, and we kind of know that, and declared holy.
Yeah.
But it also says made legitimate, okay? Because first we were illegitimate. Now, being sanctified means we're made legitimate. We are free from sin and purified.
Oh, please forgive me for interrupting. I forgot about the lag in a few minutes. But when would you talk about that illegitimate and legitimate? It is, we're talking spiritual wise.
Absolutely. We were illegitimate, and you know what? I think that's something that you don't. Illegitimate, we weren't by the law. We didn't obey the law. We were sort of, how do you put it? We were lawless, basically. We were out the law.
Okay.
Because we didn't obey the law. And so we had no legitimate claim to anything holy and righteous, anything from the King of the universe. We were illegitimate. We were birthed out of not him, but of another, and that was the enemy, Satan, that was our father, because he's the father of all lies. And we were illegitimate in that there was no legal right attached to us other than hell. The only right we had was to hell, to nothing else. And so Christ came so that we could then change our status. It's just like when a child is born illegitimately. And then what makes it legitimate is when the child is born through covenant. It is born out of a covenant. And that's what happens when we're born again. We become born out of the covenant of love that God has made to us and through Jesus Christ. And so then we become a legitimate heirs. You know, someone said, no, that ain't his real father. He ain't entitled to nothing that, you know, so-and-so had because he wasn't, you know, his name wasn't on the birth certificate. So he's illegitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And then Christ went and put his name on our birth certificate, okay? And so now
okay. He
presents it to the Father, these are your legitimate children, hallelujah, because these are my brothers and sisters. Glory to God. And so we're made legitimate. We're made legally, we have this right, and spiritually legally. And I think that that's so important because the enemy, remember, who's lost all rights and can never gain them back, is the main one
uh-huh.
who will tell you, you ain't right. You did that. You, God, you going to hell. You know, you
uh-huh.
doing all that,
uh-huh.
and this is wrong. He's the accuser. He wants you to still think that you're illegitimate. But that scripture
all
and
right.
that scripture teaching is that we are totally forgiven, deeply loved, and completely accepted as legal
uh-huh.
heirs, no longer
uh-huh.
And that's what sanctification does for us.
You wasn't worthy yet.
Amen. Absolutely.
Now you're worthy.
had no rights whatsoever. Oh, we had rights, but it wasn't to nothing good.
But today, because of Christ Jesus, we are born legitimate.
Absolutely.
In Christ.
Yes.
Yeah, because of the blood. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yes. So, and I like when we look up words, it'll bring different meanings to you that causes
yes.
you to view something just a little bit richer and deeper.
Yes.
And it also says... It says it causes, sanctification causes us to be or to be seen as morally acceptable. Again, that's
mm-hmm.
that. Again, he says you've been sanctified, you've been made morally acceptable by my word. And that's because we embraced his word, and his word has freed us from the position of illegitimacy, if you will, and caused us to be legitimate because now we have his word that has cleansed us. That's why I like in that John 1:3 when he says, you know, you're already clean by my word. So what he's saying is all of the, and remember we're talking about this engrafted branch, and part of what the author shares this week is the fact that sometimes buds will start coming that are
mm-hmm.
still the residue of the old nature, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And as those buds are coming, they have to be identified by the husbandman, and it's identified through the Word of God. It don't look like the Word of God. It don't look like Jesus Christ. It does not look like what the Word says he's to look like. That's how we become purified. So because it doesn't, then we have to allow it that bud to be like scraped off that vine or
yeah.
cut apart,
yeah.
put inside
yeah.
our heart. He just in everything he goes back to his processes and in however you want to look at it, you know. But that's how
yeah.
we become circumcised. That excess stuff from the other. Sap that was still in our going through our veins and the stuff coming from the new vine, the true vine,
yeah,
is
yeah.
getting He's got to go through this stuff. This stuff got to be cut off and cut away.
Yeah.
And every time it pokes his head up. But the way we see that is by it being the word of God that shows us this ain't right. That's the only way we know something we're doing ain't right, because the word of God said it.
You
and
know, Apostle.
Yes.
I mean, Overseer, I'm sorry. As Sister Pat said, sometimes, and I thank God, and this is just such a, I thank him. I thank him. You know, he gives me the visual. Here I go back to that sight unseen. But he gives me the visual thing. When you were saying about the husband, now those of you who garden, I know I ain't talking to you, Overseer, but those who go to garden and have your little buds and your flowers come up, you know, sometimes that a weed can come right next to that flower, and they can look so much alike. But until you know the word, hello, you know the sight of that bud, and you say, oh, no, that's not the flower, that's a weed. And you'll know what to pluck out.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, that's a great analogy. Thank you.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
It is. But you know, somebody like me, who I'm not a gardener, I don't know. That's because I don't know the word.
Yeah.
So if I don't know the word, I won't know it's wrong. I think
you won't.
Good.
Hello. Yeah.
I won't know. You got to know, because you've been in the word. Once the word gives you that truth, then you are empowered with your discernment of the things that when they first start coming, you know they ain't right. They need to develop. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise
God.
What an awesome visual. Amen.
God.
Amen.
Mm.
Glory.
Good stuff.
His stuff is good. Amen.
Yes,
it is.
Evangelist Margaret. The sight for the unseen, and it's like that just blew my mind. It was just what was needed to get that analogy and. You know, you can see it, and you that visual, and it's like, wow.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's so
Absolutely.
Wonderful. He's so wonderful.
Hallelujah.
And you know, and that's true, when I keep seeing them two little buds, you know, that enemy can send some things in there that look just like.
Yeah.
But it's just not of God. And like
Hallelujah.
You said, you got that work. You'll know which one to pluck out. Oh, no. No.
You
oh,
sure
no.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
I am so reminded. Yes. Go ahead.
Yes, that you'll know. No, this is going to cut my growth.
Yeah.
This is going to stop my growth. This is going to choke me. Uh-uh. No,
yeah.
I don't want this walking by me. I don't want. No.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm.
And that's what he said. And see, that's how holiness comes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that I want to be holy. No, as you walk, and the truth walks with you and in you, he will reveal things, and they will be disgusting to you because of what you enjoy from the house of the King of the Universe. Okay.
Yeah.
So you know this stuff. This is some wrong mess. No, I don't want this.
And
it becomes a natural, easy thing to turn from, because the righteousness that thing that's wrapped around the where the branch and the vine connect.
It's
becoming a part of it. That's like that stitching that's been melted in the flesh. Now it's one. That's how you become one with Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that righteousness now is a part of you. So before it covered us, transformed us, you know, as grew up in us, you know, as the connection was made stronger in him.
Mm-hmm.
And now that connection is solid. It becomes that powerful place.
Yes.
Where
yes.
The difference you can't tell when you left one and started the other. Because you know what? Now we look like him. Now we look like we don't look like us
God.
No more.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely. Oh. Yes.
Praise God. Absolutely. Praise God.
Yeah. We don't normally look like some kind of freak of a, and that's how we look as carnal Christians. We're attached to something holy that has some phenomenal things attached to it. We may have a bud or two of the good stuff, and about 10 or 15 of the old stuff that needs to be off the rank that's coming from the old source and nature,
and we
just look a mess. And when you look at it, you don't know what kind of tree that is. You don't know what kind of branch. What's wrong with that branch? Absolutely.
My God.
Absolutely.
Oh, glory to God. Yes. My God.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
God is good.
You know what? Yes. So as our author shares some powerful truth of our sanctification, of our being made legitimate, of our being set apart, of our being declared holy, of us being morally acceptable because we have been cleansed by his truth. And the truth is cleansed by it. We're cleansed by his truth because it's in his truth that we find grace. And remember, grace is a divine empowerment. It's favor, but it's also an empowering tool. It is a divinely empowering tool. It's a weapon. It's a weapon that we can use to obtain those things that are of heavenly and eternal nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it says there's no other way to... There is no other way of our becoming holy but by becoming partakers of the holiness of Christ. And there is no other way for this to take place than by our personal spiritual union with him. Abide by faith in Christ. Our sanctification is the simple secret of a holy life. It's not striving. It's not idly waiting for God to make me perfect. No, it is just a simple secret. It's just to come home with him. He said, come to my house. And it's coming
my
to
God.
His house.
Yeah.
Coming to his house. And so it says, Christians, do not fear to claim God's promises to make you holy. Do not listen to the suggestions that corruption of your own nature will render holiness impossible. That's the enemy talking to you. You can't be holy. Look how you can't. You did this. You did that. You can't never stop doing that. You know what you like doing that? Don't listen to those suggestions of the enemy, but rather claim the promises that God has given you that he will make you holy. Because he knows how good the truth is. He knows how powerful his truth is. And he knows if you just come to the light, I promise you, the light will shine through you. Because you're not going to want nothing to obstruct that spiritual growth and development. Like Sister Martha said, you're going to see that and go, no, that's a weed. I know what you're
right.
Want.
Right.
And you got to go. Amen.
Yes.
You got to go. And that's that tearing down every thought and imagination that rises up against God.
Mm-hmm.
That's tearing it down. That's pulling that weed out.
Yes. Yes.
When you see it come, just pull it out because it's rising up next to his holiness.
Yes,
and you know it,
yes.
Because now you got the truth, and this has sanctified you, so you know the deal now. Pull it up, tear it down, don't let it come. And that's when he said,
there you go.
Just come back to me, and I'll give you my thoughts. That's what that says.
Yeah.
Us to his presence, and I'll give you my thoughts. And you don't have to listen to the suggestions of the enemy, who he's just hoping you'll go with his mess. He can't make
yeah.
you go with it. Just hoping that you will, and that you don't have enough truth in you to know he's lying, but the truth will expose him as the liar that he is, and that the weed that he is and all that counterfeit that he has will be exposed and will no longer settle for the counterfeit. We're going to go for the gold.
Amen.
Keep that head in
there. There you go. There you go. Praise the Lord.
Amen,
praise.
Amen.
Glory to God. What a wonderful, awesome journey this is. And every you know, they all say every round goes higher and higher. And it does. It takes us to a new place. But, you know, I didn't understand it when the old folks used to say, I sung it. I don't know what I was talking about.
Yeah,
I know now.
Of course. So, now we
because
know.
Because now, after we do, we go higher and higher. And the higher you go, the less the things of the world look, the less daunting they look. They don't look all that overwhelming no more. You know, they don't look all that troubling or that destructive anymore. Because the higher you go, and you look down and stuff, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. It's paling. And actually, we're seeing it now for the first time the way it really is. Before, we were like trapped in a place where it looked bigger than us. And he said, I'll draw all men unto me. I'm going to bring you up. I'm going to bring you up to the cross.
Yeah.
Ain't that awesome? And
yes,
so at the level of the cross, this looks bad, but you need to look at the view from the cross.
Right.
You look into eternity. You look into eternity. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
You
thank you, Lord.
At us and saying, I don't know. I know it looks bad the way you stand it, but from where I am, I see my Father. And I see him keeping his promise and bringing glory to his people.
Okay.
I just thank you all for sharing a word from words. It has been a blessing today.
Yeah.
So anybody have any insights and inspiration?
Good morning,
Officer.
Trace your pieces, T-I-E-C-E.
I'm sorry?
Somebody needs to mute.
Start doing different things and you can't hear. But I do want to Mother's Day.
God bless
that
you.
That is such a blessing to be honored to be a mother and to be the one that God has given young ones to form their minds and their hands and their thoughts and their feet in the direction of heaven. And so I know that those that are listening have done that, and you have jewels in your crowns because of your children, whether you birthed them or not. You've imparted into them. You have been the mother of their faith, their growth, and development, and that's a blessing.
Amen.
And I thank God for all of our
Amen.
I love you.
Questions, comments, and sharing?
God bless you all. I certainly enjoyed this morning. And we pray as we all stand in agreement, safe travel to you and to yours
Amen.
And all those that are leaving the conference and going to their prospective homes, churches, or whatever. We pray travel and mercy upon all of you. And we'll
Amen.
Amen, amen.
Okay.
God bless.
Okay.
All right.
Amen.
God bless
you.
And
love you
overseer,
guys. Amen. Yes,
overseer,
ma'am.
As you go
yes,
along
ma'am.
The as you go along the line of the vendors, you know my size, my colors, and my light. Amen. God bless.
All right. Love God. All
right.
Love right.
You all.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
Bye-bye. Be blessed. Have a great day.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Evangelist? Narvella? Hello? Uh-oh, you know.